This is show it. Hi guys.
Hi.
We're not doing an intro.
Yeah.
Fucking truth.
Honestly, fuck that. Like, I don't have time for that. She doesn't have time for that.
We're just here to talk shit, and usually when you talk shit, there's no interest.
We also have to go to dinner, so yeah. Okay, so you guys asked us some pretty good questions. And we will answer them for you. Oh, this should probably play there. All right. Okay. Can we do my favorite one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you guys asked about the teacup mikvah controversy.
Wait, we should have like pulled it up
to read. No, I have. Oh, you have it.
Okay.
She came prepared. Okay. So we're gonna talk about JDP's mikvah teacup mikvah controversy.
Hold on. Up her hair up.
Yeah.
You have a lot of hair, by the way.
So much hair.
I was thinking that earlier today.
It's
like, damn. Because I think this is like the first time I hang out with you that your hair is down.
Yeah.
And I literally was thinking that.
Because I got it dyed yesterday and she was meant to cut it, but I had to run out of there because I had a meeting. Which was I was looking forward to, but also cut my hair appointment short. It's hard being a Jap. It's hard. Okay, so we're gonna give each question 2 minutes, but I think this teacup mikvah thing deserves five.
It's a special question.
It's very special to me. You know what? 5.5.
5.5.
Well, for good luck.
I feel like this is like a game show. Where we have to, like, answer it within a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
So we can make it to dinner.
Yeah. Okay, so we've counted down for you. So essentially, the teacup mikvah is from JVP, Jewish Voice for Peace. If you don't know what that is.
Voice.
For Peace. If you don't know what that is, go to JV Parody. It's my other page. We also have some posts on it. I don't know if it's pinned.
It should be.
It should be. Okay.
Later.
So JVP does like a lot of great, you know, like remixes of like different Jewish holidays. You know, we should actually do the Seder. We should do one where we just like read the.
We should just have like, a whole episode on their nonsense. Like, remember when they have like the. Lock, like the dirty, rusty lock on the Passover
plate. Oh my god, yeah.
I'm like, that's disgusting. That's like not hygienic.
No, it's they're sick. Have you seen the way anti-Zionists make challah? They like put their hands all over it. It's disgusting.
There's something about their hygiene.
No, and can I tell you something so funny? Like, whenever they cook, I don't know why, but like whenever they cook or bake anything, it literally looks like shit. I have a whole post on this. It's like, I don't really believe in God, but shit like that makes me think that like Hashem is trolling us.
Oh, I'm sorry, but he is.
Yeah, no.
I'm a believer.
Just you're a believer.
For that reason, and for the fact that like, so sick, that's fucking crazy.
Fair.
Like, we've been persecuted a lot, and we're like still here, so like.
That can be something we disagree on.
Yeah.
That's someone strange. Asked us, it doesn't really disagree on, we couldn't think of it. Okay, so basically, I'm going to, like, run you guys through this. So Jewish Voice for Peace's mikvah thing, we've got it on my phone up here. They say, hello, welcome to the Simple Mikvah Guide. Intro to mikvah, it's a water immersion. They say that. Who gets to do it? Everyone. I think that's correct, right? Everyone does mikvah?
Well, like
Jewish guys do mikvah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have to be Jewish.
Well, I'm not a bridge JVP.
Yeah, JVP is like whoever feels Jewish is Jewish. So, like, I'm pretty sure that
Jewish
means.
Is a state of mind.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that means that, like, what's it called? Messianic Jews are Jewish, but like, I'm not gonna defame. I'm not JVP, don't sue me. Okay, so this is my favorite part. And before one of you assholes who's like hate watching this jumps down my throat, I'm a lesbian. So
yo.
Dave, yeah, if you couldn't tell by my dress,
your name.
Oh yeah, and my name on Instagram. And my name on Yeah, my name on Instagram. So they have here, I don't know why, the headings are intro to mikvah, who gets to do a big mikvah, and then the third is, what is a queer mikvah? So to us, a queer mikvah welcomes anyone. We have a working definition.
They already welcome everyone.
Yeah. Queer mikvah is a ritual of Jews in the diaspora. So some ideas for mikvah.
Queer Jews in Israel can just fuck off.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I think you mean...
they can't be limited.
Yeah, no, they're not allowed to. So some ideas for mikvah preparation. One of these was a teacup mikvah. So if how to make mikvah a non-Zionist ritual, reject all colonial... That's so funny. Okay, teacup mikvah. But there's a few different ones.
How to take a shit without being Zionist.
Yeah. Hey guys, like, today I'm, like, get ready with me to take a shit, take a non-Zionist shit. Fermentation mikvah, quiz for mikvah. I don't know why, just prayers for mikvah. You can see where my head is. Okay, this is my favorite part, and I need to, like, quote it to you guys. Because, like, Rabbi Linda, if you don't know who Rabbi Linda is,
she's
you're welcome.
Chief rabbi of-
the chief rabbi of Gaza, you should follow her. She couldn't make this up. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. I need to do the honors. I'm sorry.
The honors.
Fill a special cup. If you want, add flower essence, a small stone, or another special element. Sing the teacup a sweet song, dance around it, cry in some tears, tell the cup a tender and hopeful story. Hold the teacup above the body of your animal friend for extra blessing. Balance it on your head.
Wait.
Balance it on your head to call in your higher self. Use the holy contents of this teacup to make contact with water. Mikvah to go. We've always been a people on the move.
But, like, how is that, like, anyway. Okay, that reminded me, like, a million years ago.
Yes.
Because they were talking about your furry friends holding it over the teacup.
Yeah, like
a million years ago. Literally 2013.
Okay.
When Simba was a wee baby.
Angel.
I went out with a person who was no longer my friend, but it's a fine but my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story for another day. And I had like I went to a thing where I had to take my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I went to a bar. And when I was at the bar, I, like, spilled, like, margarita all over the laptop.
That's, like, as one does. Kind of slay.
Yeah. And so then we went to my apartment. And I was like, fuck. Like, my laptop was, like, dead. And so this friend was like... well, let's put it in rice. And I was like, oh, okay. She got, like, all this rice and put it in the sink.
And put the laptop in it.
Put the laptop, like, in it. And then she grabbed Simba and did, like, the whole, like, Lion King thing.
Like, over she it. Actually Simba'd him.
Yeah, she Simba'd him.
Did it what?
No. And then I had to call the maintenance guy.
Well, there was, like, rice in the sink. How do you even explain that?
It was so bad.
That's so funny.
That's why we're not friends anymore.
Yeah. That's... okay, should we...
my sink.
I know. I mean, that's, like, so embarrassing to, like, explain to, like, someone else as well. Okay. Okay, new question. Okay, 3 minutes. Organ theft propaganda.
Yeah. So we all know Blood Libel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to explain it. If you don't know what it is, like, it just goes to the 101. But anyway, so
just like go to her fucking. She has a whole Instagram for this. Just
mm-hmm. Or Google it. But in you know, Blood Libel has always been like recycling itself, and can't just keep saying that like. Jews kill Christian babies to, like, make
matzah.
Like, no one's gonna believe that in the year of our Lord, 2024. So, it keeps changing.
Mm-hmm.
And its latest iteration is that Israel harvests the organs, usually of Palestinians, without their consent. So basically, in 2009, this like Swedish tabloid.
This is like the source of the story.
Because it keeps coming. Like, I saw something the other
day. Yeah, it's a it's like the source of the story. This was it 2009? I think it was 2009. If it wasn't, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it was like a minute ago. The Swedish tabloid basically said that this like military morgue in Israel was like harvesting the organs of Palestinians. And they didn't cite the source.
As you
course, and like it had like no merit,
mm-hmm.
and then but it like obviously not crazy. As,
yeah,
and then a few years later, someone that used to work at that morgue, Israelis are some stupid. I love Israel. I love Israelis.
Yeah, you guys not like
Israeli, but like come on, like so this like Israeli person that used to work at the morgue basically did like. It was like interviewed, I think, in like a documentary, and was like talking about how, like, in the 90s, that particular morgue had received permission from the families
mm-hmm.
of certain people to like use their bodies for medical research. I think it was,
yeah,
but these were like not Palestinians, it was like IDF soldiers. Israeli Arab, like it was like
mm-hmm.
not like specifically Palestinians, and that in some cases they had taken their like retinas without permission, like explicit permission from the families. Now this was like in the 90s, it was like a shitty thing that they shouldn't have
done.
And it has long not been done, but it was like it wasn't even like specifically towards Palestinians, it was something very not good that happened.
But yeah.
It's not like Israel's killing Palestinians specifically to harvest their organs. They weren't even Palestinian. It was some sort of malpractice.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. Like, even if that did happen, that's terrible, but that doesn't mean Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth and every Israeli should
die. Wait, no, I need to tell you.
Also, I did another three.
Oh, just to
this is like, go. This is like important.
Like, important.
And then, during this war, Muhammad al-Kurd,
our friend,
he did like this full long Twitter thread, citing Euromed Monitor, which sounds
that sounded so sketchy. Like I wanted to like
like they were saying that basically like during this war, Israel was grabbing Palestinian corpses that had been killed in the war to like harvest their organs.
Now this is like a medical impossibility.
Yeah, I was gonna say like. If you're dead, you're dead. Like, I've seen Law and Order.
No, like,
they have to, like, do it.
There's a whole, like, process. Like,
put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, for, like, organ transplants. Like, you don't just grab a body that's been in the rubble. So, obviously not true. But it sounds legit because it's like, ooh, like, this human rights organization.
Like, this,
And Monitor. They're, like, basically, the guy that founded it is, like, very deep into Hamas. Like, he's been, he had a warrant in, like, 2020 for his arrest for, like, his ties to Hamas. Since 2010 or 2011, they've known about this. So, like, it's not a legitimate organization. Mm-hmm. It just sounds legit. And then al-Kurd said that and whatever. And then Bella Hadid, I think it was, posted it.
Oh, yeah. So, just, like, in general, if you, like, you know, if you guys are ever looking at a source and it has, like, a connection to a government that is authority that you can't dissent from, mm-hmm. is probably not a good source.
Mm.
So, like, Al Jazeera,
no. But this is even worse because it's, like, literally an like, a human rights organization created by someone who's, like, a Hamasnik.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right, so it's, like,
watch out for EBSFs.
Yeah.
Shameless self-promotion.
Episode.
Yeah. 2 minutes on free. Oh, we can give it three. We don't
have to
be stingy. Free Polenstein.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we can do a whole. So it's one of you motherfucking hilarious. No, I'm not going to say. One of you hilarious motherfuckers said Free Polenstein, which is a direct. Would you say it's a threat on your life? I would say that's a threat on your life.
I just don't think Poland should be free.
Yeah.
fuck Poland, bro. And we need to actually have a whole episode about
this. Like, listen, because I always get shit. I have a lot of Polish followers. They're lovely. But sometimes Polish nationalists are fucking crazy.
Like, yeah. Like, know your audience. Know who you're speaking to. Like, relax. Relax. So, Debbie feels about Poland how I feel about Qatar. Quickly, we can't do this quickly, so we'll talk about
Yeah, we'll just let you do another.
Suffice it to say, the Auschwitz, like, museums, like, a Twitter person blocked a Jew.
They block Jews all the time.
Blocked a Jew for saying, like, what, for, like laughing at the fact that
they, like, posted something about Polish collaborators, and the museum was like, fuck you.
And they, like, make it, like, such a thing to, like, never say Poland did anything. It's always German-occupied Poland.
So, like, Germany did everything, but no, they did.
They didn't. We've done that. I'm just gonna, like... have you guys lost friends? Yeah. Okay. How bad is your med? Let's do this. Again. How bad is your mental health?
How bad is your mental
health? It's, like, pretty bad. But I did start seeing it. So, after October 7th, I, like, reached out to my psychiatrist. I, like, don't really do talk therapy. And she said to me, like, I was, like, there's a day of jihad. All the Jews are gonna die. I was also recovering from surgery, like, a week before. I was, like, literally, like, what? And my psychiatrist was, like, listen, like, Jews are safe in America. And I was, like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Like, I love you, because, like...
Is your psychiatrist Jewish?
I don't think so. I felt like she was Jewish adjacent, but after that, I just couldn't. Yeah. So I found a Jewish therapist who was amazing.
Yeah, my therapist is Jewish.
Yeah, no. I, like, I need that. Like, even... yeah, so now I see her a lot. She's great. Honestly, like, I feel like my mental... Like, it's, like, not good, but it's actually okay.
My mental health, like, early on...
It was not good.
Really bad. Like, the first few weeks...
Yeah. I was very worried about you.
I was in a state. Now, it's okay. Like, the past few weeks have been, like, really intense.
Yeah.
For me. For reasons I can't say. Then my dog is having issues, not Simba, the other Ollie. And I had drama with the bridesmaids dress for my sister's wedding.
Oh, yeah, shit show.
And then something else I can't say. but yeah, for the most part, it's decent. Some days it gets pretty bad, which is why I need to stop looking at my DMs.
Yes. It's up and down. I mean, yeah. I feel like we both have mental health problems.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do this shit if you're not mentally... I'm convinced that you can't do this shit if you're not mentally ill. It's rough out there. But, like, it's also why we're funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do numbers. The kibbutzim ones.
I have friends saying kibbutzim are settlements. Help. They are not settlements. They're all within internationally recognized Israeli territory. There might be some in the Golan. I don't know.
I actually have no idea.
But the Golan is, like, annexed to Israel, which the international community doesn't recognize. I recognize, but they don't. And now people are going to ask me why. The reason I recognize it is because Israel tried for decades to get Syria to take it back. And Syria was a bitch about it. So Israel was like, all right, well, it's either, like, endless occupation or annexation. So they annexed it.
People who, Syrians who lived in the Golan Heights, are they considered Palestinians or Syrians?
Syrians.
Okay, that's...
Yeah.
and some of them don't recognize it. Like, most of them are Druze, which is,
oh, okay.
It's kind of weird because it's like Israeli Druze are like very pro Israel.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the Golan, like, traditionally they haven't been. Sorry, we're in New York.
Yeah.
But more and more they want Israeli citizenship, which they're like entitled to.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point of the question is, like, no, they're not settlements. Kibbutzim are like collective farming communities. They're not settlements. The settlements are in the West Bank.
Yes. If someone put a kibbutz on the, like, in a pot outside the 67 lines, like, that would be a settlement.
Exactly.
But yeah. That's yeah. Just, to my knowledge, not where they are located.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I want to do this Israelism one.
Have you seen it?
No. But I have, like, oh, so someone asked, you guys asked us if we have seen the film Israelism. We have not. A few months ago, Debbie came and visited, and we watched an anti-Zionist documentary.
And there was, like, fumes coming.
Yeah. I know. It was, like, so much fun, though. It was, like, very hilarious to me.
It's really hard for me to, like, listen to, like, historically inaccurate shit. That's what bothers me. Not, like, people giving, like, their stupid opinions. Like, I can, like, haha. But, like, when people just say with so much conviction that something happened a certain way when it just didn't.
Yeah.
That makes me so upset that I can't deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Like, I was telling you, like, there's this YouTube channel, Corey Gil Schuster, who, like, basically he goes into Israel and,
oh yeah,
and the West Bank, and he asks Israelis and Palestinians questions. It's a really interesting channel. So, like, when he goes into the West Bank, like, people submit questions, and so, like, one of the questions was, like, do you think, to Palestinians, do you think Israelis should leave, for example? And so he goes into the West Bank and asks people questions that I can deal with, like, if they're like, no, they all have to go. Most of them were.
Yeah.
I can deal with that. But once they start talking, like, there was another one, and I don't remember the question, but, like, the guy started talking about, like, how Palestinians are Canaanites and all this shit. And when it's that, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, like, if you have to lie to make your point.
Like, they're not, they think it's the truth. And, like, I cannot deal with saying with, like, so much conviction something that's just, like, inaccurate.
Yeah,
historically, it drives me nuts.
So
anyway,
we haven't seen it, but yes, the film was something different. Which I'm not gonna tell. Like, I know everyone was really curious, but, like, I'm not gonna tell you guys because I'm, like, not gonna promote this piece of shit. But we're not going to.
It's the same concept, though. Like, oh,
it's the same concept.
Too.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna, like, talk shit. Well, okay, here's what I will say. Because we haven't seen the film. I'm not gonna, like, comment on aspects of the film because that would be weird. So first thing, you know, I would watch it. Unfortunately, you have to buy it. I'm considering watching it and then, like, donating, like, a couple trees to the JNF in, like, the name of, like, whoever fucking produced it.
They'd still get the money.
They'd get $5 from me, and then what? I'd, like, triple, like,
that's true.
$20 for some trees.
Okay.
But that's the first thing. And then I could comment on it, or we could comment on it. Second thing is the whole concept behind Israel is, just because I've seen trailers, is yes, like, I was lied to at summer camp, yeah. And now, like, I'm pro. Palestinian, and I'm, like, anti-Zionist, and I'm this and I'm that.
This is why Jewish education sucks.
So, okay, here's what I will say. I grew up in a community that was very Zionist. A lot of people look at a documentary like this, or, like, you know, material like this, and say, like, you weren't lied to. Like, that's fake. I don't think that's a good idea. Because we can't possibly know what someone was told at school. I personally don't. I think maybe what I was taught was, like, a little, like, obviously it was pro-Zionist, but It was a little brainwashing.
I didn't hear the word occupation until I got to college. That's unacceptable. Because then, like, you don't know anything. So then you, like, people come up to you and say all these things, and you're like, oh my god, I was lied to my entire life. And then it's a brainwashing to brainwashing pipeline.
Yeah. So, like, the thing is, like, I think how to deal with this is, like, to say, like, oh, that sucks that you were whether the person was brainwashed or not. Like, oh, that sucks. And, like, tell me more. Because, like, the best way to, like, get someone to do a full 180 is to gaslight them and be like, no, you actually weren't brainwashed. Like, that didn't happen. That's fake.
To me, it's like, if someone was like, oh, I've been brainwashed, whatever, and I'm like, okay, like, what were you brainwashed about? And then whatever they say about Israel that is correct or incorrect, if they're saying something that's incorrect, I think the best way to, like, dispel misinformation is with information. So you just tell them what the truth is, and if what they're saying is true, then it's true. Like,
yeah. And, like, things like I would ask people what they mean. Like, don't, like, having a blue box in your classroom, not propaganda. Singing Pesach songs, right. Not propaganda. That's
just an expression of Jewish culture.
Okay, I'm not gonna say which school, but okay, Bibi went to a certain school, a certain elementary school. And the kids were looking at him like this and that. And there was an article about it. Anti-Zionist loves it. And it was fucking so cringy to watch, honestly. I was like, why would they do this? And I think that speaks to, like, you know, a little bit of brainwashing. He's yeah. a politician. I don't know. Some people get it. Some people don't. But the ultimate thing is that people say, I've been brainwashed, and then they do a 180 and they say, well, now I've been brainwashed with, like, Zionism. They go the complete other direction. Mm-hmm. The complete other direction being, like, Jews don't deserve to live there, and, like, Jews need to get the fuck out, and I don't care if civilians die, and
yeah.
they deserve it, and justifying violence. That's the brainwashing. Yeah, that's the brainwashing to brainwashing pipeline. Maybe the people in the cause agree. Hitler and the Mufti.
Okay, what was the question? I always wondered what the Grand Mufti told Hitler. Did he have any influence on Hitler's actions? So there was, like, a few years ago that Bibi said that the Mufti essentially inspired the Holocaust. that is not true. And then Yad Vashem, like, denounce people because for revisionism. That's not true. Hitler was a nut and he would have done what he did anyway, but the Mufti was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The founder of the Muslim Brotherhood was, like, a raging Hitler fan. Like, before Hitler even came to power, like, he was, like, a fan.
Oh yeah. And, one of those.
Yeah, he translated Mein Kampf into Arabic and named it My Jihad, which I think is
that's hilarious. Like, amazing.
And established really close relationships with Hitler. With Hitler, like, early on. As soon as, like, the Nazis rose to power, the Mufti, like, was already, like, making moves to, like, be friends with them. And in 1941, the Mufti went to meet with Mussolini and Hitler and a bunch of others. And basically what the Mufti told Hitler is that he wanted help, Hitler's help, to get rid of the British in Palestine and also exterminate the Jews in Palestine. And Hitler told him, hold off, don't worry. Once I'm done with Europe, I'm going to, like, go to, like, non-European nations, and, like, it's coming. So basically, yeah, they had a fun little pact. It was more like the Mufti had a huge influence on the Holocaust, specifically, like, in the propaganda that he disseminated in the Arab world / Muslim world, and in the Holocaust in Bosnia specifically. But he wasn't, like, the one that, like, conceived of the final solution. That's not true. But he was very influential. Like, I actually, there was
this Palestinian girl that used to follow me, and like years ago, like when I was like baby Jinsa,
mm-hmm.
and she, sorry, mom said, and she,
no, you're good, we're fine.
I said something about the Mufti, and she was like, well, he was like fringe, and like no one takes him seriously, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't, and I'm like, okay, first of all, like he actually was like extremely influential in terms of like the actual Holocaust,
yeah.
in Bosnia, but also just like the Arab world. And like he was the leader of the Arab Higher Committee, which was like,
oh yeah,
the Palestinian Arab government. And there's like a street in Gaza named after him. So I don't know why she was saying that he was not influential.
I just like, I know this is like so inappropriate, but like somebody said to me, like, do you think the Grand Mufti kind of looks like Ryan Gosling?
Oh, everyone says that.
And I haven't been able to stop thinking.
No, about he does.
It. He does. That's scary. Like, it's scarily.
He was blonde and blue eyed. So,
oh, that's fucked.
So, but apparently Jews are like colonizers.
I'm honestly getting it on my phone because people need to see, like, how insane. Like,
they're like twins.
Oh, this is so funny.
Okay, I'm gonna test this again.
Yes. Yeah, that's him. That's Ryan.
Oh, by the way, when Hitler met with the Mufti, Hitler assured the Mufti that he was anti-Zionist.
Oh, good. Lovely.
And that he saw a Jewish state as part of a conspiracy the Jews had to, like, rule the world type of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do, if you want to do standing together. Okay.
Okay. So you, if you've been following up with everything that's happening on social media, you probably have seen an organization called Standing Together, and it's run by an Israeli Jew and then like Israeli Palestinian. So it's like a coexistence thing. And I've said in the past that I have an issue with them, and people get really up in arms because I think they think I'm saying I have a problem with peace or coexistence or whatever. I don't. I, like, one of the things I actually do respect about them is that they're, like, all about peace and coexistence.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same vision, in the, well, I think, because they're kind of very vague about what they see as the ultimate solution for the conflict. And
that's not good.
I don't like that. Like, I don't like when people will not be, like, open as to whether they are advocating for a one-state solution or a two-state solution or something else. Like, I feel like you should be, if you're an organization.
Yeah.
Like, if you're an individual, whatever, and you don't know, whatever. And if, even if you're an organization and you're saying, we don't have, like, one view as an organization as to what it should be, at least say that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's really disingenuous to, like, do, like, kumbaya, like, peace and love without having, like, anything, like, an actual, without being, like, forthright.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, yeah, at least we both want peace, right? But my issue with them is that they've completely misdiagnosed the causes of there not being peace. They, even, like, on October 7th, they basically made some posts and were, like, this is just proof of the occupation, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, like, this had, October 7th had jack shit to do with the occupation. There was not a single Israeli in Gaza except two people that had been hostage for years. They very clearly say that this is about wanting all of the land. This was not about the occupation, and one of the things that's, like, really frustrating with this discourse is that they're, like, seeing the occupation as, like, the source of the problem, and while I do think the occupation is very inflammatory, it's not the source,
it's a bug, not a feature, it's a feature.
It's a consequence.
That's how, yeah,
of the actual issue, and the issue is the, like, Arabs' world's, like, rejection of Israel from day one, rejection of any sovereign Jews anywhere in the land, even if it was, like, to be a binational state, which a lot of people don't know, but they, like, actually rejected before 48 a bunch of offers for a binational state because they don't want Jews to be in it. Even the Jews that had been there, like, for, like, ever.
Yeah, they wanted them to fuck off as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So that is, like, the root of the conflict. If the root of the conflict was the occupation, then there would have been no conflict before 67, because there was no occupation.
Mm-hmm.
The occupation happened as a consequence of one of the wars, which is a consequence of the conflict. So that's, like, issue number one that I have with them. Issue number two is that they don't, like, I don't understand their position right now.
Yeah.
They're saying we need a ceasefire because that's what will bring the hostages back. And I'm like, yeah, ceasefire that Hamas agrees to. Like, because they're just basically saying unilaterally Israel should have a ceasefire because that will bring the hostages back. And that's just not true.
That's literally not.
The only people that know where the fuck the hostages are the people keeping the hostages. And if Israel just stops bombing without, like, an actual agreement with Hamas, we don't get the hostages back. Like, how long? There's been hostages there since, like, when was it, Vera?
2014.
Yeah, like, years and years and years. Like, there being no war doesn't mean the hostages will necessarily come home if Hamas doesn't want them to. Like, I feel like it's disingenuous.
Yeah. Like, Palestinian, like, these groups, like, Palestinian, what, I can't say armed resistance. Like, these, like, violent groups like this have taken hostages, like, long before October 7th. Like, didn't they go into a school once and, like, take a bunch of kids hostage?
Yeah, like, they've done a lot of
the eunuch.
So, like, it's just a disingenuous, like, equivalency that he's making. Third issue I have, and this happens a lot with coexistence organizations, is that they demand, like, relentless, like, self-flagellation of Israel.
Oh, I love that.
So, like, you know, Israel has to, like, you know, what's it called? Like, they have to, like, examine everything that they've done wrong and blah, 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 blah. And I agree. Israel has done a lot of things wrong. But it's disingenuous to demand that of one side of the conflict and just not give a flying fuck what Palestinians have done. And the truth is that, like, so many of the policies that make life so hard for Palestinians were a consequence of bad decisions on the part of Palestinian leadership. And, like, if you can't even, like, if you can't even just, like, a little bit, like, be like, hey, like, let's reflect on this because they've made so many fucking bad choices. Like, what good things did the Intifada bring Palestinians? Nothing. Like,
a wall?
Literally thousands were killed. Now we have checkpoints. Now we have a wall. What good did firing rockets from Gaza bring Palestinians? Nothing. That's how the blockade started. What good did October 7th bring Palestinians? Clearly nothing. So, like, there needs to be, like, a little bit of analysis on the part of, like, what is this leadership doing wrong that's perpetuating conflict? And they have none of that. Like, and this, again, this is so common for, like, coexistence organizations. And I think it's because Jews are, like, more willing to, like, examine these things, which is great. But, like, it's just disingenuous to think this is what's going to fix it because it takes two to tango.
So. Yeah.
Fourth problem I have with them is that after BDS'd them.
I love that. And so, you'll never be enough. Even, sorry to go back, but even the Israelism film, they were shattered all over.
Mm. Yeah, well, after BDS'd them, it seems like they've been pandering to them instead of being like,
being like, well, fuck you anyway.
Right. Instead of being like, oh, like, that's, like, not appropriate, you know? No, they, like, pandered now. And it's just weird to me and kind of, like, have a backbone. I don't know.
Yeah. It's, like, just xenophobic. It's like, well, I don't want to work with you because you're Israeli.
Israeli,
what the fuck happened to the left?
Israeli-Palestinian got BDS because there's
it's actually always like BDS, like it's always like Israelis and Palestinian organizations working together, like that's a big part of it. So I was reading for my article about Qatar,
read it,
because it's the whole, like, it's like the anti-normalization thing. It's like we should do an episode on anti-normalization.
What I don't understand about, like, this whole movement is that, like, they want Palestine from the river to the sea, which means all of the Palestinian territories and all of Israel. The like 48 Arabs, aka like Arab Israelis, they consider it part of the Palestinian nation, and they want all of the land, including where the 48 Arabs live.
But they're like BDSing them. So like, which one is it? Like, are they a part of your nation, or are you like BDSing them because they exist, because they are citizens of a country that you deem is oppressive to them? Like, that makes no sense to me.
I reckon if, like, there was a free Palestine from the river to the sea, the Israeli Arabs would be in trouble.
There's been a lot of times when they've been asked and they're like, they don't. Like, I remember a while back, can't remember who it was, probably BB, but, like, they were talking, don't quote me, I don't know if it was BB, but it sounds like a BB thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking about because if there's, like, a two-seat solution, there will 100% be land swaps, because some of the settlements are, like, way too big to undo. So, they were talking about land swapping settlements for, like, some Israeli Arab towns. Oh my god, the Israeli Arabs were livid, as they should have been.
Yeah.
They were livid. They don't, like, polls, like, consistently say they want to live in Israel, not under Palestinian governance, and, like...
Because why the fuck would you?
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, walk out of my house top... No, not really topless, but, like, I, like, want to wear what I fucking want. I just, like, want freedom and equality, and we should honestly do a whole episode about this, like, Fighters for Palestine, the whole, like... Equality, equality for me, but not for the.
Yeah,
we should do that. Is there anything here really important that we need to address? I know somebody asked about. One of you said, "What the fuck do we do about Western media putting gasoline on the fire and putting out Hamas propaganda?" This is like what I say every single day. Elon Musk, if you're listening, you need to put fucking labels on media outlets of authoritarian regimes. Press media, press TV, whatever, is Iranian state-affiliated media. On Twitter, it used to say, this is Iranian state-affiliated media, whatever. No, Musk took it. Like, there was a point where, like, BBC and, like, CNN also said, this is state-affiliated
media.
No, it's not. Elon was just having a tantrum.
Oh, like, I know, obviously BBC is, and, like, NPR is.
Yeah.
And PBS.
And that's fine. Like, if they wanted to, if Elon Musk decided to, like, put a disclaimer on every single thing, I don't think it's wise, because not all state media is equal.
You know what they should do? They should put, like...
Like, yeah, Qatar is...
Okay, they should put, like, this is, like, Qatar-affiliated state media, and then put down, like, the freedoms.
Yes, that's actually exactly what they should do. I've been saying this for, like, ever. So that's what needs to happen. That is a way to combat propaganda, because at this rate, we need to, like, make it, like, it's already really bad for people, like, in, like, our generation, but it'll stop younger generations if they know, like,
yeah,
in Qatar, like, I keep saying Qatar, like, it's like Turkey too, and
yeah,
Iran and China, but
and
it's, and Russia, yeah, but Al Jazeera, AJ Plus, is so popular, and I think that's a huge, because people don't know.
This is, like, trendy looking.
It's so dishonest, and
I know.
I
have a post that is called A Tale of Two Al Jazeeras, and, like, I compare, like, the Arabic to the English, and
oh, yeah.
Literally, there was this, like, feminist writer or something that died in Egypt, and, like, Al Jazeera in English was, like, eulogizing her and making her, like, this hero, and then Al Jazeera Arabic said that she was, like, a threat to, like, not society, but, like, a threat to culture or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a stark difference.
Yeah, so that's, By that same token, one of you asked, "Tips for engaging with friends who mean well but are posting propaganda." If your friends are posting shit from media outlets that are like, and you can always Google them, like there's some random stuff, like this thing called like Breakthrough News. It's like, I'm pretty sure, like I Googled it and it was like, this is a pro Assad, you know, pro China, like whatever. Source, that's weird. Same thing with Mint Press News. I might be mixing up Mint Press News with Breakthrough News, but you know, yeah, if there's like an unfamiliar outlet, like feel free to look it up and tell your friend, like, hey, your sources might be off. And then if they continue to post it after that and they like go and look at it, which they should. Wait, did I tell you this one time I got into a Facebook argument with an anti-vaxxer, and
oh my god,
it was 2019, and she was like, and she like just said all this shit. She was like, vaccines give you autism and will make your dick fall off and we'll do A, B, and C. And I'm like, can you cite a source? And she's like, this isn't school. I don't have to cite a source. I'm like, bro.
Leave the comments.
Give me, like, strength.
Like, quoting the dictionary is a new low for this account.
What? Like, why?
Political Jew made a post about, like, the meaning of, like ceasefire, what a ceasefire is, and isn't it? And so they, like, or he had, like, a thing from the dictionary being like,
this, oh, yeah,
ceasefire is. And they're like, quoting the dictionary is a new low.
That's amazing.
And I was like, that's hilarious.
I need to make fun of that.
I'll send you the screenshot.
That's, yes. So, TLDR, if your friend, like, tell your friends about that. If they're posting propaganda and they know they're posting propaganda, that's not well-meaning. That's, like, intentional or reckless. I hate myself. Like, so I took the bar exam last week and my location was at a hotel. Happens to be the same hotel that Debbie is now staying at, so this is weird recording here, but you know what, it is what it is.
Story 85.
It's just fucking bizarre.
Riveting.
I know.
I get it. You took the bar at this hotel. That's the story.
No. Okay, Debbie changed hotels last minute. Like, last night I walked in and I was like, hey. Anyway, so another person, like, speaking of authoritarian regimes and their media outlets, which you should not trust, someone said, would you file this under Know Your Enemy, and sent me a picture of TRT World, had a video of Bibi, like, doing what looked like a Hitler salute, and said, like, is Zionism a colonial project? Like, yes, the media outlets of authoritarian regimes are your enemy.
That's Turkey, right?
Yeah. TRT is Turkey. Yes. So, yes, that's your enemy. I feel like Zara Bilo, but that's for another podcast.
Have you lost friends since 10/7?
You know, I haven't lost friends. I lost, like, contact with this one person who was, like, my really, really close friend. Like, my mom even, like, wrote her a recommendation for law school and everything, and she didn't reach out to me after 10/7. So, that's, like, I'm done. Like, sorry. And she's not Jewish.
Yeah. Okay, this is my thing. I've lost quite a few friends, which is crazy to me, because I've been posting this shit on Instagram for years.
Yeah.
No years. And my positions, for the most part, and especially pertaining to the conflict, like terrorism and like Hamas and stuff like that, have not changed. And all of a sudden, they are like blocking me or like unfollowing me. And I'm like, I've been saying this for years. You've been telling me you've learned so much. You've been liking my posts, sharing my posts. And when it's fucking trendy,
I support the current thing.
Exactly. And I'm just like, it's been pretty hurtful, to be honest.
That's rough.
Yeah.
I feel like you're the same. And, like, generally, I don't surround myself with, like people who don't like me.
But the thing is, I thought they did because they've been following.
No, not that they did. But like, if someone's like if you're an anti-Zionist, I literally like.
Oh, I get so many. Like, I get so many DMs telling me that their like fiance or their husband or whatever is an anti-Zionist.
Dump him.
They're like, oh my, especially when those like my whatever doesn't think Israel has a right to exist. What do I do? And I'm like, that's like doomed. That's like,
yeah, like
such, we're not being funny. Like, that's such a fundamental clash in values that I don't like. I mean, like, good luck.
But like, here, like, okay, especially if you have a non-Jewish partner. Like, one of you thinks that you should die, and the other one is said person who should die.
But I feel like it's almost worse if it's a Jew.
Yeah, also they're insufferable. Yeah. Like, one thing I want to say is, like, something that really might bring us together. Like, so with the, sorry to go back to this, but with the Israelism film, like the anti-Zionists, like, non-Jewish anti-Zionists shat all over the Israelism people. And I've seen a lot of stuff being, like, anti-Zionist Jews, like, keep censoring themselves. And I think it's, like, you know, the Goyim, the anti-Zionist Goyim are, like, understanding how truly insufferable anti-Zionist Jews are. And I think that's really, like, beautiful.
We can't deal with you either.
And, like, I just think that's really beautiful. Nice. Like,
yeah, we have something in common.
Yeah, they want us to die, but, you know, at least we can agree on how fucking insufferable anti-Zionist. And they're like, as a Jew, like, no one gives a shit.
Well, I was telling Amelia earlier, we're like, every time they comment as a Jew, it proves to me how the but, like, they're so fucking out of touch with the community. Because to the entire community, as a Jew, is a fucking joke. And I feel like you wouldn't start a comment with an as a Jew unless you're completely out of touch with the community conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like.
No one takes that seriously.
Yeah, no one takes you seriously. I mean, we've, like, pretty much done all of these. Stuff about abandoning the queer community. You know what? We should actually do a whole episode on that.
Sorry. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
We did that one. We did that one.
There's the anti-Semitism from academic friends in Middle Eastern studies. I think I want to do an episode about.
We should do an episode about because
I recently, for one of my gigs, I had to like do a lot of research about that and like. Middle Eastern studies are, like, in the West, and probably in the Middle East, are, like, fundamentally flawed because they tell the story from an Arab and Islamic perspective, largely. And that's, like, the dominant section of the population in the Middle East. It's, like, they completely silence minorities in the Middle East, really, and there's like a lot of reasons,
like Yazidis and
like forget Jews, but like just in general, a big problem is Edward Said's Orientalism, which basically like spawned the like post-colonial studies field.
I kind of also like
he's a liar too, but that's a different story.
We do have to go in a minute, but I also wonder how, like, I don't know, like, Persians think about this. Like, look at Middle East. We should, like, have someone come on and talk about this, because that's really interesting.
Because, like, the whole, like, department, of it, like, largely, obviously not at every school, I don't know what it's like at every school, but largely, like, the sentiment is, like, they talk a lot about, like, Western imperialism, like, hurting the Middle East. But completely like ignore Eastern colonialism / imperialism. Another big problem for Jews specifically is that like Jewish studies are oftentimes not under the Middle Eastern Studies Department, whereas like Arab studies always are.
Yeah.
And so that's like inherently like biased / like lopsided. But yeah, this is like deserving of the whole.
Yeah, no, we should do that. Yeah. I'm just like thinking, and I know we like have to go in a minute.
Yeah.
And like, could you imagine how fucking pissed you'd be if, like, you were a Persian Jew, or, like, you, like, your parents fucking fled Iran, like, and, like, you go to school to be told, like, by, like, I don't know, by, like, a bunch of Islam, like, that's actually not what happened, and, like, this is why, this is America's fault. Like, I would be so pissed.
That's obnoxious.
But, yeah, here we are. So, thank you guys.
Thank you.